You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper.
And I'm Carolyn Nelson.
Folks, we've got an awful lot to tell you tonight. So I hope that you have pen and paper by your side, because you know what we say when you call and said, "Hey, I didn't have a pen and paper by my side." We don't like that. You're supposed to be responsible to capture the information that we take the time to research and give you. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, the Lone Ranger goes to Phoenix.
The Lone Ranger. With the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty Hi-Yo Silver, the Lone Ranger.
Hi-Yo Silver, away!
With his faithful Indian companion Tonto, the daring and resourceful masked rider of the plains, led the fight for law and order in the early West. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. The Lone Ranger rides again.
Yes, folks, I, the Lone Ranger, went to Phoenix. I didn't tell you why I was going to Phoenix, because I didn't want to give alarm to those that I was going to, let us say, upset. I guess that's the nicest word that I could give it. You see, we have a group of people up here who have put together a 2-meter radio net for patriots. And they wanted me to join it. And as usual, I objected strenuously to any license that I would have to get through the U.S. government. However, I know how to do it without giving away any of my rights. But I knew from the description of the people who give this test down in Phoenix that there was going to be trouble. And I communicated that to the people up here, and I said, it's not going to be as easy as you guys think it is, because they've never had anybody like me come down to get a license from them. So, nevertheless, I went to Phoenix. I took Annie and Pooh, who filled in for Tonto while he was on vacation. And he's such a stalwart individual that it took 2 people to take his place, actually 1.5. And we went to Phoenix, drove up early Friday, went and spent some time with our friends at Swiss America Trading, and then went to our hotel, checked in, got comfortable, where once again I studied and read the whole book from cover to cover, and late into the night, Annie grilled me on all of the questions, and I answered them, and it was evident that I would have aced the test had I been allowed to take it. I went into the Tempe Public Library, where the Arizona Repeater Association Incorporated was functioning as the volunteer examiners for the FCC's test. Now, the FCC, folks, doesn't have a big budget. And really, the law only gives them the authority to license radio operators. That's all. Radio operators and radio stations. That's the only authority they have. Anything that they do outside of that under the law is by color of law, and they have no authority whatsoever to engage in anything other than licensing radio stations and radio operators. Well, I went in with the intention of getting my technician's rating for the 2-meter band. No code. Although I think if I had had a little brush up on the code, because of my Navy days as a quartermaster. I think I could have passed that, since it's only 5 words a minute. And in the Navy, I could do much, much faster than that with flashing light. Flashing light is not all that much different than listening to it through the earphones or keying it on a key. But nevertheless, just to get this done, I went in there, and I knew there was going to be trouble, number one. Number one, because what I saw were these volunteer examiners walking around with radios in their hands and radios on their belt inside the Tempe Public Library. None of them were ever more than 20 feet apart from each other. Therefore, they didn't need the radios, but these were gung-hoers. You see, it's the kind of kid that wears his Boy Scout uniform to school even though there's no meeting that night. Do you understand what I'm trying to get across to you? How many people have belonged to a club where somebody gets elected president of the club and turns into a little Hitler? Well, that's what these people were, ladies and gentlemen. Little Gestapo stormtroopers with their radio on the belt and a badge, a name badge, but their name badge only had their first name on it, so you never knew who these people were. And they wouldn't tell me. I don't know if it's because they knew who I was or they knew what I was capable of doing, but they wouldn't tell me their names. Now, all I remember is one name was Dave, and his badge said Triarch, whatever that means. I have no idea what it means. And I went in there with a form taken out of the back of the book that I used to study. It was an OMB FCC form, 610, which I filled out. Now, because of my leg, I didn't jump in this line, which was out the door and up the hall. I sat on a stool until everybody went through the line, which was quite a long time. When it was down to two or three people, after about 45 minutes, I jumped behind the last person and went up to the decks, where a young woman, and I mean real young woman, two actually, and a young man at the end, asked me for my form. I gave it to her. She says, oh, this form is no good. Well, I know that if the form says approved by OMB and the expiration date on it has not expired, that it is a good form. But just so that we wouldn't have any problem at that point, I said, okay. Where's the real form? She pointed me to a table, put a form in my hand, which I immediately filled out, noting that it looked just exactly like the form that she had just rejected. Took that form up to the table, and she said, this is the wrong form again. So we went back to the table, and she gave me another form, which had all the same information on it, everything, just one of the blocks was a little bit bigger. So I filled that out. The first one, actually, and the second one that I filled out were perfectly okay according to the law. They were approved by the OMB, and the expiration date had not run out. Yet these people put me through this in convenience because they are insecure people who have been given a position of what they think is authority. So they have to exercise it. This is what happens when you let people think that they have some sort of authority. I then gave her this final form, and she looked down at it and said, this is all fine, except what is this right above your signature? And I read it to her. I said, it says, I reserve all rights without prejudice, UCC 1-207 TDC. And this is my name, and this is my date that I signed it. She says, I don't think they'll take this form. I said, they have to. It's the law. So I then went to the next young lady who took my form and asked me for a photo ID. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I've read the FCC rules, and I've read the law, and I know this for a fact. There is no requirement that anyone produce any kind of identification for application to take the test for an amateur operator primary station license or any other license for that matter. In fact, there are no age limits as to who can take this test. A one-year-old child can take this test, and I don't know any one-year-old child that has a photo ID, so they were discriminating against me because of my age. You see, if I had been a one-year-old child, they would not have asked me for a photo ID because I wouldn't have had one. That is against the law. It's also outside the requirements of application form 610 for amateur operator primary station license. But I knew that the good part was yet to come, so I showed them my press credentials, and they were duly impressed, and passed my form on to the young man at the inn, whom I asked, "What shall I do now?" And he said, "Wait until we call your name." So I went over and sat down in a chair, and it wasn't very long until this man named Dave, and let me tell you a little bit about Dave, folks. Dave was obviously the man who had pointed himself Der Führer. He was the little Hitler in charge. And he made sure that everyone knew it, for he would stand in front of the open doorway of the examination room with his arms crossed against his chest, holding a 2-meter band radio walkie-talkie in one hand, even though everybody that he ever had to talk to was only a few feet away, and he never had to use that radio. That was his badge of authority. So he stood there with crossed arms in front of this room, and when people talked, he would yell for them to whisper. Not ask them politely, but yell. Yell. "Hey! Stop talking! You have to whisper!" Der Führer had spoken. He came out waving my form, saying, "William Cooper?" I said, "Yes." He said, "We cannot accept your application to take the test, and we're not going to test you." I said, "Why not?" He said, "Because you wrote this above your name." I said, "Wrote what?" He said, "This right here." He said, "What does that mean?" I said, "It means I reserve my rights according to the law. And I cite the law, UCC 1-207, and I'm taking this exam and obtaining a license under threat, duress, or coercion because you won't let me use the radio frequencies if I don't. And you'll give me a lot of trouble. And I could have stormtroopers breaking down my door, stealing my radio equipment because 2-meter broadcasts across state lines. You see, it's not like a low-power FM station." He says, "You cannot take the test. We refuse to test you." I said, "You can't. I have obeyed the law, and I have put this above my signature according to exactly what the law says. This is a commercial contract that I'm entering into. The United States government only has the authority to license, limit, or control dealings in interstate commerce. Interstate commerce. What I cited is the Universal Commercial Code, which controls interstate commerce, 1-207, which states explicitly that I must do this, or I can lose my rights under this contract." I asked him, I said, "Have you read this law?" This was his reply, ladies and gentlemen, quote, "I don't have to," unquote. I reminded him, very politely, I said, "Dave, you are a volunteer examiner. You're not a member of the United States government. You have no authority whatsoever. You are here to help us take this test. That's all. You must allow me to take the test, and you must accept this application form 610 for amateur operator primary station license and administer the test and grade it. If I'm in error, the FCC is the one who has to make that determination, not a volunteer examiner." I was tempted to describe him a lot more, in much more brilliantly colored terms. However, I refrained at that moment. He said, "No, and you're causing trouble. You have to leave." I said, "Wait a minute. I'm not leaving until I have your name and address because you've just given me grounds for suit. I want to know what organization and what their address is that is conducting this test and what your name and address is and the name and address of all of these volunteer Gestapo stormtroopers." He refused This man who claimed that he was doing the right thing and was acting as if he were a representative of the Federal Communications Commission, the United States government, refused to give me his name and address, and about this time started walking away from me, and I yelled, "Hey, I want your name and address." And about two other of these people came running out of the examination room and said that they were not going to examine me, and I had to leave, and I had to leave right now. And I said, "I want all of your names and addresses and the name and address of the organization sponsoring this test, because I'm going to sue you." Well, they all refused, which, in my estimation, and I believe that a court of law will see it the same way, is an admission of guilt, for they're required by law to give me that information if they're acting in any official capacity, which they were, under the law, as volunteer examiners. They were supposed to help us complete this test, grade it, and send all the paperwork into the FCC. They also took a fee from me, which was not returned, ladies and gentlemen. So at that point, I realized nothing good was going to come of this. I told him, turned to Dave, I told him, I said, and I quote, "I'm going to drag your ass through the courts until you don't have any left." And I began walking across the library to the door. He yelled across the library at me, "Don't you ever come back. You'll never get a license in this state ever." At which point, I turned around, folks, and because I was so upset with his inability to even understand his own ignorance and stupidity, I yelled, "F you," and left out the door. And ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow I will be sitting down with Donna Grimsley, the attorney up here in Apache County, and I am going to sue each and every one of these little Nazi stormtroopers individually, and the Arizona Repeater Association, and the ARRL, every one of these people are going to be sued. And it's no joke. And folks, I will win. And when I win, it will make it a lot easier for the rest of you to go down and take your test for your amateur radio license, because these people, instead of helping, have appointed themselves as police officers for the FCC, which has no policing powers whatsoever, have written their own law stating that you have to use their forms and that you must produce identification, which is not required under the law and is not required for children who can also take the same test, thereby discriminating because of age. And they say that if you cite UCC 1-207 and reserve your rights without prejudice, that you cannot take the test, therefore depriving me of my protection under the Constitution and under the law, and they are going to pay through the nose. And I know that a lot of you out there are amateur radio people who occasionally function as volunteer examiners. I'm going to give you this advice, because after this broadcast, you're not going to run into so many sheeple, and more people are going to do what I did so that they don't give away your rights, or their rights, or my rights. And these poor, insignificant, insecure people who have to make themselves into some kind of stormtrooper law enforcement people for the FCC, who is really using them to do their job for them because they don't have the budget to do it. Instead of helping people to take this test, they're making it more difficult, inventing law which doesn't exist, operating under the color of law, denying people their rights and their protection under the law of those rights. I advise you to get your act together. All of you who just sign your name to those forms have entered into a contract with the United States government saying that they can come into your house or your home or wherever your amateur radio station is whenever they want to, and that they can do things that they're not allowed to do under the Constitution or under the law simply because you signed that form without reserving your rights without prejudice under UCC 1-207. Well, you see, I will take that test. They will be nice to me. I will reserve my rights, and no one will be able to come into my home or my business without my permission or without a warrant under the law, unlike you stupid people who just go along and do what these little stormtroopers tell you to do. So, if you belong to the Arizona Repeaters Association, you better get yourself disassociated with them, or you might find yourselves paying part of what they're going to have to pay once I win my case in court. And I will have my day in court, and I will win. They haven't got a leg to stand on, because now I'm going to read you the law, ladies and gentlemen. And just to show you what wonderful publications we have offered for you, I'm going to read it word for word from Vultures in Eagle's Clothing, beginning on page 161. Entitled Chapter 27, The UCC and the IRS. The UCC is the Uniform Commercial Code, the Federal Tax Lien Act of 1966, P.O. 89719, Legislative History, page 3722, states, and I quote, "The entire taxing and monetary systems are hereby placed under the Uniform Commercial Code." Why? And this is an aside, folks, I'm not reading anymore. "Because the Constitution states that the only authority the government has over the citizens of the several states is when they are engaged in interstate commerce." You didn't know that, did you? But of course, you haven't read your Constitution, have you? Now, the UCC is the code that regulates negotiable instruments. It was previously called the law merchant, the law of redeemable instruments, and the negotiable instrument law, in other words, the law of contract. This is an absolutist code, and it was written by and for creditors. It has no regards for the rights of the presumed debtor, or truth, or justice. It governs the commercial activity of the citizens of the states who are engaged in interstate commerce. UCC Section 1-103.6 is your recourse from the UCC back into the common law. It states that the code UCC must be in harmony with the common law as follows. Quote, "The code is complementary to the common law, which remains in force except where displaced by the code. A statute should be construed in harmony with the common law unless there is a clear legislative intent to abrogate the common law. The code cannot be read to preclude, prevent, or exclude a common law action." Unquote. One of the many negative provisions of the UCC code results in a loss of all rights and claims when not reserved in the contract, agreement, or negotiable instrument. Excuse me. UCC 1-207.9 states, quote, "When a waivable right or claim is involved, the failure to make a reservation thereof causes a loss of the right and bars its assertion at a later date," unquote. Did you hear that, folks? When a waivable right or claim is involved, the failure to make a reservation thereof causes a loss of the right and bars its assertion at a later date. So much for all of you who sign your name to documents without reserving your rights. And you want to know where they're going? You listen to this program long enough, you'll have no doubts. There is a remedy within the Uniform Commercial Code that you can use to reserve all of your fundamental and common law rights and remove yourself from the provision of the above-cited section, UCC 1-207.9, and others under the UCC and other regulations and codes which are contradictory to or not in harmony with your rights. For example, such reservation retains your common law right not to be compelled under a commercial agreement that you did not knowingly, voluntarily, and intentionally enter into. In other words, fraud. Further, the common law is based upon justice, truth, and reason. Therefore, a reservation of your common law rights takes you out of the fantasy and injustice of the absurd presumptive law where red is green. Also, by reserving your common law rights, you can compel the prosecutor in any case against you to file a valid, verified complaint in which they would need to bring forth a party injured by your actions. You are also reserving all of your unalienable rights, such as not being a witness against yourself, the right to be secure in your person, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures, the right to a jury where the controversy is above $20, the right to not be held for a capital crime without a grand jury indictment, the right to not be deprived of life, liberty, and property without due process of the law, the right to receive just compensation for property taken by the government, etc. Since you don't reserve your rights, that's why they can barge into your house, confiscate all your radio equipment, give you an apparent violation, and fine you thousands of dollars, all without due process, all without protection under the Constitution, all without being tried or convicted of any crime. You gave them the permission when you sign documents without reserving your rights under UCC 1-207. All rights reserved without prejudice, and this is your recourse back into common and constitutional law. UCC 1-207, quote, a party who, with explicit reservation of rights, performs or promises performance or assents to performance in a manner demanded or offered by the other party, does not thereby prejudice the rights reserved. Such words as without prejudice, under protest, or the like are sufficient. UCC 1-207.4 states, and I quote, any expression indicating an intention to reserve rights is sufficient, such as, quote, without prejudice, unquote. This reservation of rights can be exercised by making the following notation above your signature on contracts and agreements and other documents requiring your signature. FCC Form 610 is a contract. And this is what it says, folks. Quote, all rights reserved without prejudice, UCC 1-207, or without prejudice, UCC 1-207, unquote. What I wrote was all rights reserved without prejudice, UCC 1-207. The UCC effect of reservation of rights, section 1-207:7, states, quote, the making of a valid reservation of rights preserves whatever rights the person then possesses and prevents the loss of such rights by application of concepts of waiver or estoppel, unquote. Your greatest protection and my greatest protection is provided by reserving our rights in writing. However, the code does state that it is not a requirement that such reservation of rights be written, but they must be explicit. If I had just stated in a loud voice where all could hear that I reserved my rights by signing that form, if I could find those witnesses, if I ever had to go to court and prove that I said that, that would be all that was necessary. However, knowing human nature, knowing how difficult it is to find witnesses, and even when you find them, they don't want to get involved, I would never, ever rely upon such a situation. Therefore, I always reserve my rights in writing above my signature on every contract that I ever sign, and these people refused to allow me to take this test unless I consented to give up all my rights and sign it without reservation of rights. And they made a big mistake, and I gave them repeated opportunities to make it right. They did not. They refused. UCC section 1-207:5 says, form of reservation, and it states, quote, the code does not impose any requirement as to the form of the reservation other than it be explicit, unquote. Explicit means fully and clearly expressed or demonstrated, leaving nothing implied, which is exactly what I did. UCC section 1-207:6, reservation by conduct, states, quote, although UCC section 1-207 authorizes the making of an express reservation, it is not to be deduced that there is no reservation of rights unless that section is followed. To the contrary, when the conduct of a party clearly shows that he has not waived any rights, the fact that there was no express reservation as authorized by UCC Section 1-207 is not significant. The common citizen or someone interested in the rights of American citizens did not write the Uniform Commercial Code or its predecessors, the Law Merchant or the Negotiable Instrument Law. The history of this code shows that it was originally created by barbarians to codify and give the semblance of legality to robbery by the creditors. These documents were written by and for the benefit of creditors, without any separation of powers, protections, without due process for the debtor, and without respect. It is imperative that you understand it. The common citizen, or someone interested in the rights of American citizens, did not write the Uniform Commercial Code or its predecessors, the Law Merchant, or the Negotiable Instrument Law. The history of this code shows that it was originally created by barbarians to codify and give the semblance of legality to robbery by the creditors. These documents were written by and for the benefits of creditors without any separation of powers, protections, without due process for the debtor, and without respect for any equity the debtor may have invested in property that the creditor may seize. Therefore, it is imperative that you always reserve your rights on all signed documents. Don't go away. We'll be right back, sheeple.
He always sings ragging music to the cattle as he swings back and forward in the saddle on a horse that is syncopated, gated, and there's such a funny meter to the roar of his repeater, how they run when they hear the fellow gun, because the western folks all know he's a highfalutin, rootin' tootin' son of a gun from Arizona, ragtime cowboy Joe. Out in Arizona where the bad men are, the only thing to guide you is an evening star. Roughest, toughest man before is a ragtime cowboy Joe. Johnny's name is singing through the cows and sheep. Every night the same thing that hurts to sleep. In a vast, so rich and deep, booming soft and low, we always sing. Ragging music to the cattle as he swings. Back and forward in the saddle on a horse. That is syncopated, gated, and it's such a funny meter through the roar of his beater, how they run. When they hear the bells gun, because the western folks all know. He's a highfalutin, rootin' tootin' son of a gun from Arizona, ragtime cowboy Joe. He always sings, ragging music to the cattle as he swings, back and forward in the saddle on a horse. That is syncopated, gated, and it's such a funny meter through the roar of his repeater, how they run. When you hear the fellow gun, because the western folks all know, he's a highfalutin, rootin' tootin' son of a gun from Arizona, ragtime cowboy Joe. Cowboy!
Well, folks, this program is brought to you by Swiss America Trading. They specialize in non-confiscatable, non-reportable hard assets that can be used to protect what you've worked for all your life. And, folks, remember, throughout the history of the world, the only thing that has proven to hold its value, no matter what kind of economic situation arises, is precious metal in its various forms. Now, I'm not asking you to invest based upon some promise that you're going to make a whole lot of money. What I'm telling you is as the dollar devaluates, as inflation runs rampant, which you all know is coming, all you got to do is listen to the Fed. They're telling you. Then they're hiking the interest rate to make sure that it comes true, and they're making more bookkeeping money that doesn't exist available for the sheeple to come and get at higher interest rates, and they're pumping up the printing presses ready to roll those phony counterfeit Federal Reserve notes out to make your dreams come true and put you in the poorhouse, because that seems to be what most of you really want anyway. But for those of you who want to take steps to protect what you have and keep it, not give it away, precious metals offers you that opportunity. Now, I spent part of the weekend with the people at Swiss America Trading and with Craig Smith We had some long, very productive conversation. And I got to meet some of the people that I've only talked with on the phone. And I'm going to tell you right now, you will not meet anywhere in any sales organization for any precious metal sales company a more devoted, honest group of Christian people at all. They really care about what they do. They care about being Christians who are honest and adhere to the tenets of their religion. They care about you and serving you so that you are happy with your transaction. And I've never been able to back anybody like I back Swiss America Trading with my personal reputation. And I tell you this, folks, if anybody there ever cheats you or hurts you in any way, you let me know, and I will make sure that it's made straight real quick, or I will drop them like a hot potato. You know it, and they know it. And I'm telling you right now, it just won't happen. They do everything in their power to make sure you understand all the terms of every transaction they make with you. And if you're unhappy, they bend over backwards to make sure that it's set right. And if they're at fault through some unimagined situation, you have my personal guarantee that it will be made right. Now, nobody can give you better than that, folks. Now, I don't care if you use Swiss America Trading or somebody else. Just telling you that for your own information. What I care about is that you take steps to protect your assets against what's coming for all of us in the near future. And it is coming. Quicker than you may realize. Especially with the sheeple helping them all they can, like you heard in the first part of this program. You see, those people down there thought that they were doing the right thing. They thought that taking authority into their own hands and making requirements that weren't requirements and refusing me the right to take the test. They thought that in somehow they're helping the United States of America. They had no idea that they were helping to destroy the United States of America, destroy our protection of our rights under the Constitution. Just like the little boy goes to school on the day that there is no Boy Scout meeting, wearing his Boy Scout uniform, doesn't realize that everybody else is laughing at him. Made a fool of himself. Call Swiss America Trading right now, 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. Mention my name, William Cooper, and ask for all the available literature that you're entitled to as listener to the Hour of the Time. And thank them for sponsoring this program. For without the Hour of the Time, I'm going to tell you right now, and it's the truth. I don't have a big head. It just happens to be the truth, folks. You wouldn't know half of what you've learned by listening to this program since we started from any other source in this whole country. And that's the truth. We are the last bastion of free speech and truth in this whole world. 1-800-289-2646. 1-800-289-2646. Do it now. You'll be glad that you did.
Back in the saddle again, out where a friend is a friend, where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly gypsum weed. Back in the saddle again, riding the range once more, toting my old 44, where you sleep out every night and the only law is right. Back in the saddle again. Whoopee-tie-i-o, rocking to and fro. Back in the saddle again. Whoopee-tie-i-yay, I go my way. Back in the saddle again.
I'd like to take just this moment to thank George, who came down from New York and helped us build the fine bookcases that we are now getting ready to paint so that we can finally unpack the library and put it up on the shelves for anybody who wants to come and use it to use it. We'll have a rare book section that will be protected, will not be available to everyone. Will require some kind of a security deposit for anybody that handles the rare books, because they just can't be replaced, folks. But they will be available for those who can put up the deposit, and once the book is examined and it's still in good shape and it's still there, then the deposit will be returned. We're also reopening CAGI membership. If you're interested, write us a letter. Address it to CAGI membership, P.O. Box 1420. Sholow, spelled S-H-O-W-L-O-W, Arizona, 85901. That's CAGI membership, C-A-J-I. That's C-A-J-I. CAGI membership, P.O. Box 1420, Sholow, Arizona, 85901. And we'll send you a packet of information. Also, if you're interested in attending our convention, whether you're a CAGI member or not, the week of August 1st through the 5th, please send us a letter requesting information. CAGI membership, ladies and gentlemen, is going to be a little bit different than it was before. In fact, it's going to be a lot different than it was before, and we're going to require absolute participation by members. So if you're a non-participator, don't even apply, because non-participation will void your membership in any given month, and there will be no refund of any dues paid. Also, press credentials are not going to be handled like they were before, because we had a tremendous problem with press credentials not being returned when they expired, being misused, and all kinds of things. We're going to be publishing a newspaper. We're going to go into competition with the Spotlight, ladies and gentlemen. And you, as CAGI members, are going to be the bureau chiefs of your states and the reporters who will work under the bureau chiefs of your states, gathering intelligence and news stories and filing them for publication and for broadcast on the hour of the time. If you wish to be given credit or a byline for what you do, you will be given that credit. If not, no one will ever know that you ever lived on the face of this earth as far as we're concerned. It's all up to you. We're also going to have family membership in CAGI. In other words, it's going to be a stiff fee for one person. For the whole family, it's going to be much better. This is going to cut out all the flakes that we used to get previously. We're not going to have any more flakes. We're going to have requirements that you do research, that you cover events and stories, and that you file reports, and in any one month that you fail to do so, your membership will be voided. Your press credentials will be recalled. And to make sure that we get our press credentials back, folks, the fee for press credentials will be $100, and you must apply on top of that a $50 deposit, which is a part of that $100. In other words, it's $50 for the press credentials. Another $50 will be placed on deposit. When the press credentials are returned, your $50 will be returned. We're not going to play with the children anymore, folks. Just the serious good people. And we've had many, many serious good CAGI members, but we've also had an equal number of flakes, fly-by-nights, Looney Tunes, and Will-o'-the-Wisps, and non-contributors, non-performers, non-anything. People who just want to take advantage of the rewards for being a CAGI member, which you have all found out by listening to this program, are substantial. In many instances, the purchase of just one item that we offer on the air will pay back your entire membership fees and anything that you have invested in CAGI. You all know that. You will also be required to take an oath of allegiance to the Constitution of the United States of America and the Bill of Rights, and to protect and defend it against all enemies, foreign or domestic. And you will further be required to take an oath, pledging your lives, your property, and your sacred honor in defense of that document and this nation. If you do not wish to involve yourself in such an endeavor, don't waste our time or our efforts, because we don't have any time to waste. We're involved in trying to save our freedoms. Just exactly the opposite of what the little Gestapo stormtroopers down in Phoenix were trying to do by taking them away. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you're interested, drop us a line, CADGI membership, P.O. Box 1420, SHOWLOW, spelled S-H-O-W-L-O-W, Arizona, 85901. We will send you the paperwork. We will send you notification of fees and dues and all that kind of stuff. If you want to come to the convention, August 1st through the 5th, for CADGI members, it's a flat fee of $100. Everyone else, $250 per person. If you're a CADGI member and you have family membership, the fee for the whole family is $150 for the whole conference. If you are not a CADGI member and do not have family membership, it's $250 per person. Simple as that. We do not give discounts for any reason. We do not feel sorry for anybody for any reason. If you're a blind person and you want to join and you think that you can't contribute, you can. Blind people can sit and become invisible and hear the darndest conversations sometimes, because people think that they're blind and they can't see, that they can't hear, and that they're absolutely helpless and useless. And some of our blind CADGI members have been some of our best intelligence gatherers, I guarantee you. For the rest of you, hey, I got one leg. I don't cry about it, so I don't want to hear you cry about whatever your problem is. You deal with it, but you help us claim our rights, save our freedoms, and save this country. That's mandatory. We must all get involved. We must all stop hiding. If you think that you're going to be a survivalist and not get with anybody and help save our freedoms, but you're going to go off and survive by yourself till it's all over, what are you going to come back to? And how are you going to survive in whatever system exists when you come back? And are they going to welcome you back? And how long can you survive on your own without the help of anybody else? All of you people that are trying to stay in your closet with your doors closed, afraid that you're going to get on somebody's list, you're already on the list. You see, if you're not one of them, you're one of us, and we're all on the list. It's not a question, ladies and gentlemen. It's not a question of what can happen to you if you get involved. It is now a question of when we're going to draw the line and how long we're going to have to fight to save our freedoms, or how quickly we're going to bend down and put the chains on our own ankles and march peacefully and docilely buying all the way into slavery. And if you think that you're going to go somewhere and escape all of what's going to happen, and nothing's going to happen to you, as George Bush would say, read my lips, new world order. Unless you can get to the moon, they will get to you. And you had better understand that. And you better be prepared to deal with it. The answer is not taking up arms and marching on Washington. The answer is working on a local level. The answer is maintaining political and military control through the militia on your local level and opposing anyone who comes against you. The answer is calling the traitors traitors and calling treason treason. The answer is getting rid of your local politicians, your local county supervisors, your local sheriff, your local city supervisors, your local city government, your local state government, state legislatures, senators, and governors, if they are traitors and if they are committing treason. That is the answer. The answer is taking back your own personal sovereignty. The answer is knowing the real law and how to apply it in the courts. The answer is from the ground up. That's where it has always come in this nation. That's where our greatest strength lies, and that's how we will do the greatest good. Anybody who thinks that you're going to pick up a weapon and you're going to stand in a line across the field from an army and fight a battle on traditional grounds like they did in the last Civil War, you are mistaken. Our fight must be to the very, very last moment, locally and legally. And when it is apparent that we have lost that battle, our fight will be locally again, maintaining political and military control through the militia of our local areas. And if we must engage the enemy, it must be with guerrilla action. And you must never engage the enemy unless you are absolutely certain that you will win. The law is with us. And many people call and say, I'm inciting insurrection. That is not true, ladies and gentlemen. I am inciting a free people to reinstate the Constitution and Bill of Rights to its lawful and legal place as the supreme law of the land. The law is on our side. Treason is being worked against us by traitors within this country, not without. It is our apathy, our ignorance, and our stupidity that has allowed this nation to be destroyed. We are the only ones who can save it. There are no princes in shining armor on white horses that will sweep you off your feet and take you to an ivory tower. What must be done will be done by each of us individually on an independent basis, each of us taking responsibility for our own actions, each of us acting independently with personal and individual initiative to take our country back, to restore freedom, to restore the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. All those who are working against this are traitors and they are working treason. They are the insurrectionists. We are the loyal Americans who are true to the principles and ideals upon which this country was founded, to the supreme law of the land, to our families, to our God, to our country. And as I wrote in my book, ladies and gentlemen, it must be God first, Constitution and Bill of Rights second, family third. If you try to put your family above God and the Constitution, you have no rights and you have no protection of those rights. You must fight first for God, second for Constitution and Bill of Rights, third for your family. And I hope you understand that. It is imperative that we all understand who we are and what we are, and who and what we are within the law, the real law. We have two wonderful books, one of which I read from tonight, Vultures in Eagle's Clothing and Goodbye April 15th. They're $43 each post-paid. $86 for both. These are the only books that I recommend. I did not write them. I went out of my way to obtain them, to be able to offer them to you. You can get them from other sources if you do not wish to contribute anything to what people have called this ministry. It is a ministry of freedom. if you want to start now, reclaiming your own personal sovereignty and working on your local level, send for those two books. Do it now, ladies and gentlemen. Don't wait until it's too late. You see, there's been a very careful plan to keep you from knowing or ever learning the truth. No one is going to do it for you. No one's going to come along and magically wave a wand and you're going to all of a sudden understand what's going on. You have to do it. If you don't want to, or you are incapable, then you are already a slave. Good night, and God bless you all.
I was hanging around town, just spending the time, out of a job, not earning the dime. A fella steps up and he said, I suppose you're a broke fighter from the looks of your clothes. You figures me right, I'm a good one, I claim. Do you happen to have any bad ones to tame? Said he's got one, a bad one to buck, but throwing good riders, he's had lots of luck. I get all head up, and I ask what he pays to ride this old night for a couple of days. He offered me 10, and I said, I'm your man. A bronc never lived that I couldn't stand. He said, get your saddle, I'll give you a chance. In his buckboard we hop, and he drives through the ranch. I stayed until morning, and right after scuff, I stepped out to see if this outlaw can buck. Down in the horse corral, standing alone, is an old caballo, a strawberry roan. His legs are all fat, and he's got pigeon toes, little pig eyes and a big Roman nose, little thin ears that touch at the tip. A big 44 grand was on his left hip. Eunuch and old with a long lower jaw, I could see with one eye he's a regular outlaw. I get the blinds on him and it sure is a fright. Next comes the saddle and I screws it down tight. Then I steps on him and I raises the blind. Get out the way, boy, he's gonna unwind. He sure is a frog walker, he heaves a big sigh. He only likes wings for to be on the fly. He turns his old belly right up to the sun. He sure is a sunfish and son of a gun. He's about the worst bucker I've seen on the range. You turn on a nickel and give you some change. He hits on all fours and goes up on high. Leaves me a spinning up there in the sky. I turns over twice and I comes back to earth. I lights in the cussing the day of his birth. I know there are ponies that I cannot ride. There's some of them left, they haven't all died. I'll bet all my money, the man he lied, that'll stay with old Salisbury when he makes his high dive.